Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Many respected viewers of Madari channel, we once again welcome you in our program Al-Mustafa, the Chosen One. In this program we bring beautiful topics and today inshallah we'll be talking about khutbah Hajjatul Wada. The last sermon of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear respected viewers, before we proceed towards our topic, let's make few good intentions. It is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. Intention of a believer is better than his actions. And a very famous extract of the very first hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari has written, that is, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are based upon intentions. I make this intention that inshallah I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You should make this intention. You will be with us from start to end. You'll remember what you learn, you'll act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too. Alhamdulillah. Today we've got our brother Waseem Abbas with us, Muballigh of Dawat Islam inshallah, and we will be talking about the last sermon of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Let's go towards our Muballigh of Dawat Islami. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Waseem Abbas, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah, we thought that we should mention the very beautiful khutbah which was addressed to Sahaba al-Kiram by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in his last hajj. So that actually is a complete charter, and it's a complete charter of human rights, you can also say to this. Alhamdulillah, and a beautifully a brief description, when you look at it, you understand that even that charter or whatever Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave to this humanity, if we apply this to this day and age, that is fully applicable. So I think first of all, let's talk about the importance of this khutbah Hajjatul Wada. So how would you start with, and then inshallah we'll take few extracts from this beautiful sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then inshallah we'll talk on those extracts, because definitely we do not have that much time to explain all in detail what was addressed on that very day. But inshallah, few Madani pearls we'll try to inshallah explain. So very first, if you could shed some light on the importance and introduction of this khutbah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Indeed, Rizwanvi, as you beautifully mentioned, that the last sermon, the sermon of Hajjatul Wada, it serves as the guiding principles for the humanity, for the well-being of the humanity, for the prosperity of the humanity, for the well-being of this world as well as of the hereafter. So it was a very comprehensive khutbah, sermon, that was addressed to the Ummah by the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you can say that the Islamic rulings that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam has been teaching his blessed companions throughout the years were pretty much summarized in this sermon, and it was given to them so it could be imparted ahead to Ummah. And regarding the importance of this, this you can say was the most important event of the 10th Hijri, the 10th Hijra, where the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam performed this Hajj, the last Hajj of his apparent life, and also delivered this sermon. And this sermon, it has also been given various names because of its importance: Hajjatul Wada, Hajjatul Atmam, Hajjatul Balagh, Hajjatul Islam, etc. And there's a different reason behind all these names. And the number of companions alayhim wa ridwan who all gathered around for this sermon, to listen to this sermon or to join this blessed journey, shows in itself that how important this sermon was, because the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded himself to announce that he is going for Hajj. And listening to this command, it is narrated 124,000 companions, and according to some narrations, 114,000 companions from all around the world, they passionately came to join the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this journey of Hajj, bearing in mind that back in those days travel wasn't easy. But despite all those difficulties and hardships, all those companions from all around the world, they gathered to join the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the sacred journey. And this in its own shows us how important it was. And this bigger gathering never took place other than this occasion. So this shows how important this sermon was, how important this journey was, that all the companions from everywhere, they joined the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And some of what was contained within this was, it contained pretty much everything. You take whatever aspect of the life, of the akhirah, of religion, you will find in this beautiful sermon. Whether it is tawheed, whether it is the rights of people, honor of people, protection of lives, rights of women, rights of slaves, economic principles, prosperity of the society, well-being of the society, everything was covered over here. And beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave those pearls of wisdom to us, that if you want to succeed in this world and in the hereafter, if you want to have peaceful society, then these are the guiding principles for you.
MashaAllah. Beautiful, very brief description, MashaAllah, what it contains, khutbah, Hajjatul Wada. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about the last sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One another beautiful point, ulama have mentioned that this khutbah, when it is compared with the latest human charters or the rights of humans which have been written down, and even if you see the history after the Second World War, then the humanity thought that there should be some sorts of rights for the humans, and then they were made. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had approximately declared those rights of humans back 1400 years ago. Alhamdulillah, see this. And even the books, ulama kiram, they have written books to compare the charters of this day and age when they are compared with the khutbah of Hajjatul Wada, subhanallah, and they don't stand nowhere near to this beautiful and comprehensive khutbah which was addressed in the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. There are various parts of this khutbah, khutbah, you can say, which have been mentioned in ahadith. So some of them are mentioned in detail, some of them are mentioned briefly and comprehensively. But inshallah, today in this program, we'll try to cover few of the extracts. Definitely, they are very detailed khutubat, which we cannot cover in this very short span of time. But inshallah, we'll see that what beautiful Madani pearls Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam gave not only to the Muslims until the last day for them to live their life, subhanallah, but Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave principles to the humanity until the day of judgment. So today, in the very first, I would like to request our Muballigh of Dawat Islami, the very first extract we would like to share with the viewers of Madani Channel.
MashaAllah, there are many of them. And mashallah, you beautifully mentioned regarding how beautifully Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam guided the humanity regarding every aspect of life. Now, in our current day and age, in our society, one of the biggest hurdles and problems we see is the economic unrest, the economic problems and instability that we face. And if you look deep into it, we come to know that the main reason for the economic instability is because of being away, far away from the rulings that Islam has given us, that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us. What beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us was, lo, all interest-based transactions of the days of ignorance before Islam are declared null and void, but your principal amount belongs to you. This is a beautiful extract from the blessed sermon of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If only this one principle is acted upon, the financial instability will go away, and the society will be more financially viable. Why? Because the problem, main problem occurs when all these sections of the society can progress only when wealth and money are not concentrated in the hands of only few people. We need to understand this. When all the economic control is within the hands of only a few people or a set class of society, that's when unrest occurs in the society. The rich becomes richer and richer, and a poor person becomes poorer and poorer. So to make sure that this financial unrest does not exist within the society, these principles are guiding principles for us. And Islam, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, has declared zakah to be fard upon us. Islam, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, has forbidden interest. Islam, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, not only declared zakat first, but also encourages wealthy people to give more charity to poor people. Other than that, upon certain mistakes, upon certain sins, there's kafara and expiations. So all this is so the money and wealth can circulate within all the sections of the society. Especially and when this happens, when this takes place, then the financial unrest, that will of course be gone away. As was the case when Islamic laws were implemented within this society and everyone was influential, everyone was peaceful, financially peaceful, and this financial unrest that we find in our society nowadays, it did not exist back then. And what was the reason? Because this beautiful guiding principle was practically implemented within the society, which unfortunately we are far away today from.
MashaAllah, beautiful point. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, as beautifully mentioned by Muballigh of Dawat Islami, that if you follow the teachings of Islam, alhamdulillah, there is a solution which is there for us of our every problem that exists, whether in the past or in this day and age. Dear respected viewers, just if you take the example of zakah, if even all the Muslims across the globe, there are millions and millions of Muslims, alhamdulillah, they are residing, those they are capable of giving zakah. I'm not talking about those that are not capable of giving zakah. But in millions of Muslims, alhamdulillah, they are capable of giving charity in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And some of them, it is compulsory upon them to do so. And if this is done properly, if all the Muslims act upon this and teachings of Islam, then alhamdulillah, nobody would remain poor anymore. And inshallah, this money will not be in hands of few, rather it will circulate in all sections of the society. But unfortunately, we do not follow the teachings of Islam. There comes the problem. And yes, there was a time in history when these practices were properly implemented, then Muslims, they would have zakah in their hands and they would run around to find any needy and poor, deserving person to take zakah, but nobody would be able to find. So this was the time, alhamdulillah, Islam also saw on this face of the earth. Why? Because the teachings of Islam, which were guided by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they were implemented. May Allah ta'ala give us ability and tawfiq to implement in our lives these teachings of Islam. And alhamdulillah, we can also see the benefits. Dear respected viewers, there is another extract of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which I would like to mention to you, that debts are to be cleared. Anything borrowed is to be returned. Gifts should be returned in kind, and guarantor must pay on behalf of the guaranteed. Wasim Abbas bhai, it is beautifully mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in his last khutbah that we're talking about economy, we're talking about instability. This is also a problem. When somebody is in need, so it is recommended that he can go and take some like borrowings, but definitely not on interest, we are not talking on that. But if you have borrowed money from your Muslim fellow brother or someone, you should return. That is another problem. Some people, they have got a wrong understanding and they don't have the right intention to even return the money if they borrowed from somebody. And Rasulullah clearly mentioned that should be returned. And any borrowed is to be returned. Debts are to be cleared. Gifts should be returned in kind. And guarantor must pay on behalf of the guarantee. Do you think nowadays there are so many problems which happen in this day and age people, they fight with each other because if they give, lend some money to them, they don't get back, and people, they are not trustworthy. And because of this, not acting upon this, the teachings of Islam and the address of Rasulullah, we are facing problems. What
indeed,
do you think?
Well, definitely, because the first point that was mentioned earlier regarding interest and the point you've brought across, they are very beautifully interlinked. How? Now, for example, I come to you and ask you to lend me some money. Now, that's one case where you mentioned people unfortunately don't have the right intentions to return the money. Let's take the other example now. I do intend to return you money. I'm in need. I've come to you. I've borrowed some money. But because of the financial instability, when am I going to be able to return that money back to you? Because at the end of the day, I'm stuck in the same financial circle within the society, which actually made me to borrow money from you. Now, of course, I need that financial stability within the society to earn something to return your money back to you. So that's one aspect where people, ma'azallah, don't have the intention of returning the money back. But on the other hand, those who do have the intention, unfortunately, they're stuck in the unstable financial circle of the society that they're not able to return back the loan. And because of this, their discords, their conflicts, their fights amongst people, and all these kinds of things. So if, for example, there was that financial stability within the society. Now, if need arises and I come to you to borrow money, I know because of financial stability, there will be a time, the sooner or later, I will be able to return your loan back. But because of this instability, the very same point you've brought in, this problem even goes further ahead, yeah, where I'm unable to earn money back to return your loan back to you. So all this goes back to the same point, instability of the financial.
Right. On top of that, we should be trustworthy also, right?
Indeed.
At the same time, right? The other person can trust and lend some money so that we can also return that. This is also something to be noted from this beautiful sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected viewers, now it's the time to include one segment that is chosen Sunnah. We'll come back and inshallah after that segment we'll talk on the same topic we are discussing today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, today the chosen Sunnah, what we have brought for you, that is regarding combing hair. Saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whoever has hair should respect them, i.e. he should wash, oil and comb them. So it is a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to respect your hair. So keep yourself clean and keep your hair tidy and comb them, oil them and wash them. Especially when it is a summertime, so one should look after hair if they've got zulfe, so they should look after them properly. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasim al-Masbah, we were talking about the last khutbah of Hajjatul Wada. Another beautiful place Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been reported to have mentioned regarding the extract, if you could please, if it is in front of you, if you could read that. That is regarding the honor, respect and life which is haram upon one another. And then inshallah we can talk on that.
MashaAllah, in relation to the rights of life and wealth, the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he stated that, O people, indeed your lives, your properties and your honor are sacred and inviolable to you.
Masha.
So this is the beautiful extract the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave to people. And if we again delve into it and ponder upon this beautiful saying of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and practically act upon it, then honor, dignity, wealth, status and all these aspects of each other will be looked after by each other within the society. And again, if you think about it, that every human being has a right to lead his or her life and nobody else has a right to even endanger life in any way. So in the same way, protection of wealth is also necessary to live, we all know, so that one may transfer money at will and fulfill one's needs. Now, if for example, someone, he violates anyone's rights in terms of his life or in terms of his, you know, his wealth, then of course,
or honor,
then these are those basic necessities of lives that are actually tarnishing the unity, the harmony, the peace of the society, because society is built up with individuals. Society is based upon individuals.
Sure.
So if honor, wealth and lives of individuals are at stake, are at risk, then of course the society will, there will be unrest within the society. So this beautiful saying, Alhamdulillah, has beautiful guiding principles for us, that if I look after your life, your wealth and your honor, and you do the same, then just imagine how beautiful and peaceful this society will turn out to be. And all the unrest that we face in this relation within the society, inshallah, they will also come to an end.
MashaAllah. Wazir Umas, you have beautifully explained the three points which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned.
One thing is one way, which I wanted to elaborate on as well earlier, that as we are mentioning the points of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as we're talking about those guiding principles, what one thing we need to understand is that the time in which all this was being mentioned, when we're talking about the life, wealth and protection of all these things being violated was a norm back in those days. It was quite common for the rich and wealthy to suppress the poor and needy. So these rights are being mentioned at the time when they were needed the most.
Right. I was just mentioning that point that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said during his farewell sermon, أَلَا أَيُّ شَهْرٍ تَعْلَمُونَهُ أَعْظَمُ حُرْمَةً. Which month do you believe has the greatest sanctity? They said, the month of Az, Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أَيُّ بَلَدٍ تَعْلَمُونَهُ أَعْظَمُ حُرْمَةً. Which city do you believe has the greatest sanctity? They said, the city of Az, Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أَيُّ يَوْمٍ تَعْلَمُونَهُ أَعْظَمُ حُرْمَةً. Which day do you believe has the greatest sanctity? They said, this day of Az, Arafat. After saying this, these three things, when they were mentioned, now the hurma of these three things, the month, which was Dhul-Hijjah, Dhul-Haram, the city, which was Makkah, Dhul-Mukarrama, which was sacred and had sanctity before them, and the day of Arafah, which possessed this sanctity and sacredness. When Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam confirmed from Sahaba al-Kiram, and they mentioned, then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, O people, indeed your lives, your properties, and your honor are sacred and inviolable to you. Just like the hurma of the city of Mecca, the hurma of Dhul-Hijjatul Haram this month, and the Yom of Arafah. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is the way when a person goes to Makkatul Mukarrama, right? And there are certain acts, he feels that I have to be careful. I cannot do sinning here because he feels it is a very sacred place. It is day of Arafah. If you are in Arafah, then day of Hajj, and then a person does not do haram there because he knows the hurmat of the day, the sacredness of that day, the sanctity of that day. And likewise, this beautiful month of Dhul-Hijjah, Dhul-Haram, this is also one of those sacred months which are sacred in Islam. So Rasulullah compared the hurma of one's life, one's honor, and one's property. He compared with the sacred things in Islam to show to the people, to the world, that how important it is to look after the respect of your fellow Muslim brother. Okay, how important is the honor of your fellow Muslim brother, and how important is the properties that belong to your fellow Muslim brother. So you cannot violate the rights of your fellow Muslim brother in his property, in his respect, and definitely you cannot take life also in the same regard because they are haram. Wasim Abbas, if we take further, this topic is very vast. If we talk on these three points, okay, one's life, the hurma of one's life, hurma of one's honor, and then We also heard about the belongings, the possessions, the properties. Nowadays, mainly, if you talk about the society, as you said, it is built on these three main principles, then many of the rights, they are violated. People are after someone's life. People are after someone's respect, honor. They want to tarnish their izzat, respect. And likewise, they are after people's wealth. They are after people's maal. And they could take it through ill means, robbery. And we can talk and talk on a various points on this. What is your viewpoint on this, please?
Definitely, Rizwanvi. And if you think about it, this beautiful golden principle that was given to us, when we look at the societies that are considered to be civilized in today's day and age, whether those are in developing countries or underdeveloped countries, when we look at those so-called most sophisticated civilizations, and when we look at their charter of conduct in a way, then they are primarily based on these three principles, if you think about it, which is based on the life, honor, and property of other people. And those places in this world where you see a peacefulness being prevalent, these three principles are mainly practiced over there, where the life, the property, and the honor of other people are looked after,
so
are protected. So in a nutshell, we can say that even civilized societies, it took them around 1400 years, 1300 years to realize that this is the way for a peaceful and prosperous society. So even they are like begging in front of these golden principles of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who mentioned these more than 1400 years ago.
MashaAllah. Beautiful hadith, my dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, is in front of me. The Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hand the people are safe. And the believer is the one people trust with their lives and wealth. This is what we are talking about. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had taught Sahaba ikram all this throughout his life in Mecca and then in Medina Sharif, right? Principles from Quran and Hadith, they were all taught. And now it was a revision for them. It was for them in his farewell khutbah, he was teaching them once again and through them to us until the day of judgment, to the humanity, that how important it is to protect one's life. Dear respected viewers, now it's the time to include one segment, Chosen Facts. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My dear respected viewers, we've got three chosen facts for you in this program. The very first is regarding Salah. How many times has Allah Azza wa Jal given the commandment of Salah in the glorious Quran? Allah Azza wa Jal has given the commandment of Salah more than 700 times in the Holy Quran. Subhanallah. Which deed has our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared to be the coolness of his eyes, i.e. a means of great pleasure? So the answer is, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has declared salah to be the coolness of his eyes. And the last one is, when did fast saum became fard, obligatory? The answer is, fast became fard on 10th of Shawwal, 2nd year of Hijrah. So these were few chosen facts. I hope you must have increased your knowledge. Let's come back to our topic, which is the last khutbah of Hajjatul Wada. Waseem Abbas bhai, before we went towards the segment, we're talking about protecting the honor of Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Islam is very strong on this opinion that we should respect and protect the honor of a fellow Muslim brother or sister. But unfortunately, nowadays what happens, we use our tongue in a way that we violate others' rights. This tongue backbites, this tongue slanders, this tongue lies, this tongue, you see, disrespects, this tongue abuses, right? And there are so many ways and forms and shapes where we tarnish the respect and honor of our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. So what would you say on this?
Definitely. These are those golden principles that if we follow them, then peacefulness, prosperity will prevail throughout the society. How? That if I protect your honor through my hands, through my tongue, then of course it will mean that I'm talking good about you. I'm not talking bad about you. I'm not violating any of your physical rights. I'm not violating any of your sentimental rights. I'm not hurting your feelings. From every aspect, I'm ensuring that your honor is preserved, your honor is protected. So when this process, when this this is being practiced from one side, then of course this will also be practiced from yourself as well. You will also do the same in return for me. So just imagine if this golden principle again gets applied within the society, where the honor and sanctity of each and every one is preserved by each and every one through their hands and tongues. Just imagine what a beautiful society this will turn out to be, as was the case once when Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan used to be there, when they used to, you know, preserve each other's honor through all these means and taught us that how a society should be.
No doubt. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about the last sermon of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. And dear respected viewers, it is very important to note that not only the what we have already discussed, there are so many other Madani pearls and extracts rather, I would say, from this khutbah we've got. Inshallah, we will discuss that. Wasir al-Masbi Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned about rights of women also.
Indeed.
If we talk about before Islam, I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught, and then the teachings of Islam, they were established. At the time of ignorance, when we talk about what was the condition of women at that moment in time, would you please shed a little light on that?
Rizwan bhai, when we talk about the rights of women, which Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam brought into place, and when we look at the time, how they were treated, we come to know that what beautiful guiding principles we've been given. In the days of ignorance, before Islam, women, they were met with the most inhuman treatment you can ever imagine. Boys were preferred over girls. Sons were given shares in inheritance, whereas daughters, they were deprived of inheritance. If daughter was born in any household, they would bury her alive, ma'adallah. Moreover, men would divorce a woman as many times as they wanted. And they would take her back as if there's no problem whatsoever. So all these kinds of oppressive and tyrannical behaviors were in practice against the women. And this was a common norm. This wasn't considered to be anything bad. This was such something which is very common. But when Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam came, he declared those rights for women which were their due and gave them such high place that no other religion or philosophy of life had even approached.
Subhanallah.
The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said about the women that, O people, your women have certain rights on you. Be conscious. Hence, be conscious of Allah Almighty about them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about it, Rizwan bhai, there was a time when women were being treated like animals, ma'adallah. Daughters were being buried alive. They were deprived of their right from inheritance. Daughters were looked with a sight of hatred, ma'adallah. But when Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam guided the humanity, then the same daughter that was buried alive once, now she became mercy of your house.
Sure.
Same daughter who was buried alive, she became your honor. Same daughter, if she's in the shape of your sister, then she's your honor. If she's in the shape of your wife, then she's someone because of whom half of your faith gets completed. If she's your in the shape of your mother, then paradise lies beneath her. All these rights were given to women. Women were also told about the rights of men. Men were also told about the rights of women. So the same society that treated women like animals at a time, now they were treating women like true queens. And that's where women actually got their rights. Education was given to women. They were given rights in inheritance. They were given the due right of respect and honor that they actually deserved. So if women have these rights today, then it's all indebted to the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who brought humanity towards this very fact, where Ma'adullah, they were treating women like animals at that time.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. My dear respected viewers of Madan Channel, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned again in his khutbah, Hajjatul Wada, that, O people, your women have certain rights on you, hence be conscious of Allah Most High about them. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to act upon what we are learning, inshaAllah azza wa jal. And dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, there was a time when slavery was in practice, right? And at that moment in time, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam talked about those slaves, even mentioned their rights. And subhanAllah, it is mentioned in one of the extracts that take care of your slaves, take care of your slaves, give them what you yourself eat and clothe them in what you wear. Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, there was a time when those slaves had a very, very bad condition. There was no equality. Wasim Basri, how would you respond to this?
Indeed, the state of slaves was such that we can't even imagine. If you think about it, in the ancient times, slaves, they were treated worse than even animals. There were no human rights for them. And the status was not more than something for them which is kept in the house, that it's something which is useless, or you know, some product of a factory which is not in use anymore. This is how slaves they were treated. They would be made to work day and night, and the place of their rest would be where animals would be kept.
Allah.
This is how they were treated. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged people to treat their slaves humanly and ordered them to grant the slaves their rights, even to the point of instructing people about their foods and dress, which you just mentioned in the extract, that give them the same food as you eat,
Allah,
clothe them the same clothing as you wear. And along with giving them the right of education, this was a revolutionary step. And God,
even they could rule. And
indeed,
the time came.
They could rule. The right of education was given to slaves. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave slaves the right if they had political acumen and if they had political ability. Then they could also succeed in this very perspective of society as well, to the extent that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even made their obedience wajib upon people if any slave became their leader.
How? As it's been said, O people, listen and obey to the command of your leader, even though an Abyssinian slave
is your leader. Who has a snub nose, as long as he enforces the book of Allah, the Most High,
Allah,
in your affairs. So what is the parameters? It is the book of Allah Almighty. It doesn't matter who it is. If a slave has the acumen, if he has the ability, then he can be your leader. All these rights.
On top of that, when we talk about this, in those day and age, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also encouraged people to free slaves.
Indeed.
It was one of the best deeds amongst various deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would tell that if you do such and such, right, if you free a slave, you will get so and so reward. And this was an encouragement to free them from slavery, and then they can also become free men and who can, alhamdulillah, live a better life. But even because that was the time people they used to have slaves, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned their rights comprehensively. Alhamdulillah. Now it's a time to include one segment. Let's go towards that chosen message. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen, your charismatic personalities.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahman r-Rahim. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, third Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. His name is Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, and his title is Dhun Nurain. One of his titles is Dhun Nurain. Medieval Islamic Brothers, the reason for this beautiful laqab of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an is because the noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave two of his honorable daughter's hands in marriage one after the other to the honorable Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an. Subhanallah, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman writes, Noor ki sarkar se paya dushala noor ka. Noor ki sarkar se paya dushala noor ka. Ho mubarak tumko zunnurain joda noor ka. Subhanallah. From the one who resplendent, you received two shoals of noor. Congratulations to you, O zunnurain, a pair of noors. Subhanallah. The Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, many beautiful attributes, they were present in this beautiful personality. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and one of them was modesty, subhanallah. And one of them was sakhawat, generosity. He was generous to the extent that subhanallah, whenever it came, the time to give in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and his wealth was at forefront, and he radiallahu an brought that in the feet of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam for the sake of deen and Islam. And he radiallahu an became Khalifa after Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala an. On the 18th of Zulhijjatul Haram, 35th year of Hijrah, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an was ruthlessly martyred. Sayyidina Ali bin Haytham radiyallahu ta'ala an has narrated that on the day when Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an was martyred, I heard with my ears that someone was saying loud, i.e. give Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an the glad tidings of comfort and fragrance. Tell him the delightful news about meeting with Rabb Azza wa Jal, who is not displeased. Also give him the glad tidings of forgiveness and the pleasure of his Rabb Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon the shrine of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu an and forgive us for his sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were listening a clip about Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon him. 18th Dhulhijjatul Haram is the day of shahadat of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala an. May Allah ta'ala shower countless blessings upon his shrine and forgive us for his sake. Today we are talking about khutbah Hajjatul Wada. And now I would like to include one more extract from the last sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, an Arab does not have a superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab over an Arab. Neither a white man over a black man, nor a black man over a white man. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, today, even in this day and age, people are fighting for their rights. And there is inequality, racism, and there are so many kinds and shapes are even they are seen in this day and age. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam clarified this fact 1400 years ago, approximately more than that. And he clarified this, that there's no superiority over one or the other. But if there is something which is a mi'ar or something to judge upon, that is taqwa. That is the thing which should be looked, not the race, not the color, or not any other forms of discrimination which is seen in this day and age. Wasim Abbas, even in this day and age, people are fighting for their rights. Okay, racism still exists, inequality still exists, discrimination still exists. But if we follow this beautiful human charter of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which was given hundreds of years back, and then alhamdulillah, there is a solution for us, isn't it?
Indeed, definitely. Such a beautiful principle for us that when you talk about racism, discrimination, all these things which are ongoing and quite common in our society at the moment, we come to know that the only solution to this problem is to follow this golden principle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And how would this become possible? It would be by following the beloved Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam wholeheartedly. Other than that, this solution cannot be overcome, as any society where you'll find any kind of division based upon family, based upon tribe, caste, nationality, race, whatever,
true,
there will be disharmony, there will be disunity, there will be no peace in that society. So the best society is the one in which there's no concept of high and low, where there's no concept of any kind of division between people due to family, tribe, and all these things, and everything is based on equality. Now, we take a very small example of this beautiful golden principle of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We know that Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a companion of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was dark-skinned. We all know he was dark-skinned. But today, we proudly say that he was our imam. He's our leader. He's our master. Our soul goal, our soul intention, our wish is only if we can become a dust particle of his blessed shoe. Why? Why is this? Because of his taqwa. Because of his love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Islam has eradicated the concept of racism, the concept of discrimination, and the example of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is a prime example for us. No matter who we are, no matter what skin color we have, no matter what family background we have, no matter which part of the world we belong from, all of us desire and die to be a dust particle of the blessed shoe of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala, who was dark-skinned companion.
Subhanallah.
So this is that golden principle based upon which harmony and all the stability in the society actually comes into play.
Not only this, Wasim Abbas, by our practice, what we do normally, the forms of worship, they also tell us equality, subhanAllah.
Indeed.
Even when we stand in Salah, this is the philosophy of Islam. Islam tells us that when the time of Salah comes, and when you line up for Salah, when you stand in Saf, then there shouldn't be any discrimination. If the king is standing in the first row, and the one who is in the kingdom of the king, right, who may be a slave, he would stand next to the king. Because before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, everyone is equal. And if there is any, what you call, mi'ar, in sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is based upon taqwa, that is based upon piety, that is judged, that is seen in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, not the color, not the race. Now it's a time to include one segment in our program. We'll come back and talk further on this topic. That is chosen wazaif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Irrespective viewers, the very first wazifa today we've got, that is regarding protection from evil and faithful ending. And the wazifa is هُوَ اللَّهُ الرَّحِيمُ. Whoever invokes this 7 times after every salah will remain secured from the evil of shaitan, and he will be bestowed with faithful ending, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. So 7 times you have to recite. And the second one is getting rid of poverty. It's also a problem sometimes. So, inshallah, there is a wazifa for that. Ya Maliku. Ya Maliku. A poor or destitute person who invokes this 90 times every day will get rid of poverty, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So, those they want rizki halal, inshallah, they should recite Ya Maliku, this wazifa. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Wasim Abbas, we've got 3 minutes left, and there is one of the last extracts I would like to include in our program. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, listen to me, worship your sustainer, Rabb. Offer your 5 daily salah. Keep your fast in the month of Ramadan. Give the zakat of your wealth wholeheartedly. Perform the Hajj to the house of your Lord. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, these are the five fundamental forms of worship, or the pillars of Islam, you can call them. Okay, they were also mentioned. Wasim Abu Mahz Bhai, how important are they in a Muslim's life?
Of course, they are the pillars of Islam, and that's something around which our faith revolves. And that is utmost, something which contains utmost importance in our lives. The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he summarized Islam in a way in this sermon to his blessed companions alayhim ridwan, which included Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is most fundamental for our faith. And then it went on the rights of people, so on and so forth. So this very element, of course, the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam elaborated on this, explained, summarized to the Muslims that worship one Lord, one sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then emphasized on zakah, emphasized on fasting, emphasized on hajj, all these aspects which are fundamental for Muslims. In a nutshell, Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about hukukullah and then hukukul ibad as well. So only if we can take these guiding principles of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from this blessed sermon and implement in our lives, in our societies, in our country, in this world, that inshaAllah azawajal, our lives, our countries, this world will become an abode, a place of peacefulness. And inshaAllah azawajal, every kind of unrest, whether it is financial unrest, whether it is social unrest, inshaAllah azawajal, it all will be alleviated and removed.
Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, that's all for today. Alhamdulillah, we heard some of the extracts from the last sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I hope you must have enjoyed, learned something. And inshallah, having this intention that I will act upon what I have said, you can make this intention, you will act upon too. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.